Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to you on Facebook Live that have joined us there also. The big screen going up might be a clue. You're going to have to get your Bibles out. You're going to have to get your Bibles out or find one in the pew underneath the pew, actually in front of you. We're going to be looking at Luke 23. I wanted to see the cross today because we're going to talk about the cross. And I've never said anything about this particular cross, but this particular cross, some of you know that we moved in here 9 years ago on Christmas Eve, 9 years ago this Christmas. And that particular cross was a labor of love by the general contractor who built this building. He spent all night, the night before we moved in here, to get that cross done. He wanted us to have a cross. And so we kind of covered up quite a bit with the big screen. I wish we didn't. So I told the folks in the booth today, we're going to look at our Bibles. We're going to look at the cross because we're going to talk about the cross. And that particular cross was a labor of love by the person that was a general contractor of this church. And as I said, he wanted it done when we moved in here, so he literally spent all night building that cross for us 9 years ago at Christmas. The way of the cross we're going to talk about today in preparation for communion. Pretty much every morning when I get up, I go out for a walk and I spend some time with the Lord. I need some exercise, so I go for a walk and I pray. And most of the times when I go out my driveway, I take a right. Sometimes I take a left, but most of the times I take a right and I head north. And as I head north, especially for about 6 months when it's dark, one of the first things as I see is the cross in Alan and Michelle's yard. A great big lighted cross as I head north every morning. And I'm praying and I see that cross all lit up. It's a lot. How tall is that thing, Alan? 14 feet tall, and there's that cross, and I see it. I get to walk by it every morning, and it's full of lights. It's got LED lights all around it and top to bottom. And so I'm walking every morning, and I'm praying, and I get to that cross, and every day I look at that cross, and I say, thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. I know we just got done celebrating Christmas. And today we're going to celebrate communion. And you've heard Casey and I say this and other pastors over the years. Even when we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas, and we do every year, it's the cross that's on his mind. It's the cross that's in view for Jesus. Even at his birth, it's the cross that's in view. How many like to listen to Billy Graham? Even though Billy Graham has passed, his messages are so good and so timeless, and I love to listen to him from time to time on YouTube. Yet Billy Graham spoke often of the cross. He spoke often of the cross of Christ. And a lot of us cut our teeth, so to speak, on the old hymns that spoke of the cross. We don't want to lose that message of the cross. I listened to a part of a sermon from Pastor Alistair Begg a week and a half ago. And it just so happened it was on the cross. I'll quote him just a little bit in a moment. But I want us to turn to Luke 23. If you've got your Bibles, or there's some in the pews in front of you, I want to turn to Luke 23 and kind of set the stage here for our communion today. Luke 23, picking it up at verse 35. If you've ever read this, and I know that you have, you know the setting is Calvary. Okay, yes, we were just at Christmas, but now we're fast-forwarding because today we're going to celebrate communion. The setting is Calvary. There are three people on three crosses at Calvary on this day. And so I'm going to pick it up in verse 35. Here's what it says. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers, that would be the religious Jewish leader rulers, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers, Luke writes, also mocked him, and coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And Luke writes, an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. And the sign simply said, "This is the King of the Jews." And as you know the story, there was a criminal on either side of him being crucified for their crimes. And Luke writes, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, that's Jesus, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other criminal answering, rebuked him, rebuking the first criminal. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." In other words, we had this coming. But he said, "But this man has done nothing wrong." I don't know how he concluded that, but he said, "But this man has done nothing wrong." And then that criminal, the second one, he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you," you see, I'm not quite done reading there, "but their bodies were going to die." The criminals and Jesus, their bodies are going to die on these crosses. But look at the profound assurance and beauty that Jesus said to this criminal when he said, "Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." Yes, their body will go to the ground, but their souls are going to paradise. I say, glory to God. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd who came together to that sight seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. But we know that story, don't we? We know that story. And as I read it this last week several times, thinking about what we were thinking about the weeks prior in Advent and Christmas, isn't it ironic that when you look at Matthew chapter 2 and you see these wise men who had been coming for months following a star, they were looking for the King of the Jews. And when they got to Jerusalem, what do they ask? They simply ask, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews?" And 33 years later, it just kind of struck me more maybe than ever as I was reading this week. 33 years later, the question gets answered by a sign Pilate had written, tacked onto the top of the cross. It said, "This is the King of the Jews." You see, friends, the cross was necessary if any of us have any hope of eternity. The cross was necessary. The salvation, our salvation, and the salvation of all humanity is based on that cross at Calvary and what happened on that cross that day. All of our salvation is based on that. Now, we don't necessarily glorify the cross. We don't necessarily celebrate the cross, but we celebrate what took place on that cross with Jesus that day. We do celebrate that. And that's what Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," to be reminded of what he did for us on that cross. As I was listening to Alistair Begg in his sermon on the cross the other day, he was referring to that criminal, the second one, that simply said those words, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Alistair said something like this: when the thief got to heaven, the angel in charge probably asked him, "How did you get here?" And then the angel probably asked him again, "Did you understand the doctrine of justification?" Which the thief would have said, "No, I didn't understand that." And then Alistair said in his sermon, the angel maybe would have said, "Did you even participate in Bible studies?" "No, I didn't do that either." And Alistair rattled off a few more questions that the angel probably asked him, and he finally concluded with the question again, "Then how did you get here?" And in his sermon, he said, and the criminal simply replied, "The man on the middle cross said I could come." Ain't that profound? The man on the middle cross said I could come. He hadn't been to no altar call. He hadn't been baptized. He hadn't become a member of the synagogue. Probably had never been in a synagogue. Didn't have any seminary degrees. But at some point, and it could have been hanging there on that cross, at some point, this man's heart was made tender to the man in the middle cross. At some point, his heart was softened, and he knew Jesus was innocent. He knew what the people around Jerusalem were saying about this guy must be true. And he simply said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And because of what was being accomplished on that cross that day, the Lord Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The man on the middle cross said I could come. Hallelujah. The man on the middle cross died for us. Alistair, in his sermon, also referenced the question, he said, that came out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I assume that Pastor Alistair Begg meant from the late Dr. D. James Kennedy. Some of you remember Dr. Who remembers Dr. D. James Kennedy? Some of you do. Dr. D. James Kennedy was a man of God. And he would so often ask, "If you close your eyes in death today, are you going to be in heaven tomorrow?" And of course, people would say either, "Well, yeah," or, "I sure hope so." And then Dr. D. James Kennedy would always follow up with this. And I think that's what Alistair was referring to. He would always follow up with this: "Based on what? Based on what are you going to be in heaven tomorrow if you close your eyes in death today?" And at that is the point that Alistair Begg was making in his sermon. Based on what? Because, see, friends, if we start with, "Well, because I'm really a pretty good person," or "because I became a member of the church over there," or because I got baptized, if we start the conversation that way, we're missing the point of the cross. And the answer is wrong if I say, "Well, because I'm a good person," or "because I got baptized," or "because I became a member of that church." That's the wrong answer. But when the answer says, "because of the cross, because of what happened on the cross," that's the right answer. Amen? Amen? Because of what happened on the cross, someday. And I put my faith on what happened on that cross. I put my faith in Him who died for me on that cross. Someday, that's what I'm basing what I will be in heaven for, because of what happened right there. That's the right answer. Hallelujah. Not because, "Well, I'm a pretty good person." Not because I became a member of church. Not because I went down to the local synagogue every Sabbath day. But because of the cross. That's why. Someday. And I have put my faith and trust in that. That's why. Someday, I will be part of heaven with Jesus. You see, friends, I got to hurry up because time is clicking away and we got to do communion. But you see, what happened on that cross, we sang, once in a while we sing "In Christ Alone." Haven't we sung "In Christ Alone"? Yeah, I thought we had. Once in a while we sing "In Christ Alone." And there's a phrase in that song, "In Christ Alone," "The wrath of God was satisfied because of what happened right there." The wrath of God will be poured out someday. Read Revelation if you haven't read lately. The wrath of God was satisfied. We are sinful people. We needed the cross. We needed Jesus. We needed the shed blood of Jesus if we were ever going to have any chance at heaven. And what happened on that cross that day? Keith and Kristen Getty, isn't that who sings that song? They sing, "The wrath of God was satisfied." That's what happened on that cross. Because God hates sin. And we have all been participators of sin. And God hates sin. But what happened on the cross that day? The wrath of God was satisfied. Hallelujah. That's good news, friends. The cross is ugly. The cross, except for Alan's, it's kind of pretty out there with all them lights on it every night. But what happens and what that cross signifies is ugly torture and death. But the wrath of God was satisfied on that cross on that day. That's what was accomplished. The wrath of God was satisfied, we sing. Our sin was dealt with once and for all, only, not because I became a member of some church, only because of Jesus. Our sin was dealt with. Let me reference this, and then I'm going to quit, and we're going to get ready for communion. We're going to sing, when we get done with communion, an old hymn that's called "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." And in that hymn, the first words are, "I must needs go home by the way of the cross." These words are profound and profoundly true. There's no other way but this. I shall never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. It's all about the cross of Christ, friends. The way of the cross leads home. We'll sing that in a few minutes. Without the cross, we have no hope. When Jesus came as that baby in a manger, and we've just celebrated at Christmas, I've said it, Casey said it, and many a pastor has said it, the cross was in view. He was headed to the cross. Why? Because the wrath of God had to be satisfied. And so we're going to sing that in just a moment. Let me say this, and then we're going to celebrate communion. It seems inconceivable, and you can read about this in 1 Corinthians 1:16-19. I don't have time to turn there now, but I list it. You can look at it later. It seems inconceivable that we need death and the blood of Jesus to live. But we needed the death and blood of Jesus on that cross to live eternally. And Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 1:16-19, the whole idea, the whole message of the cross is foolishness. He said, and his words are, to those who are perishing. In other words, to all those who are outside of Christ, to all those who are on their way to hell, the message of that cross is foolishness. But when you drill down and you think of the message of the cross, it is a message of love. And I know I've referred to this verse a lot of times, but it is so profound in this case. We teach it to our Awana kids, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is life to those who have embraced the cross and Christ. Amen? The way of the cross leads home. And so today, as we get ready for communion, and we're reminded of the words of Jesus when we take the cup and we take the bread, he says in the Gospels, and Paul reiterates it, I'm not going to read it this morning, but Paul reiterates it in 1 Corinthians 11, he says what says here on this communion table, this do in remembrance of me, in remembrance of the cross, in remembrance of the blood, in remembrance of the sacrifice, in remembrance, but God demonstrates his love towards us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This do in remembrance of me. Let's take a moment just to bow our heads in preparation, because Paul encourages us in 1 Corinthians 11 to examine ourselves. Let's take a moment in silent preparation before God. I'm going to invite some friends to come forward and help distribute these elements, and then we'll partake of them together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the plan to redeem us through Jesus on that cross. Jesus, thank you for your willingness to go to that cross. Thank you for dying for me, for us, for all of humanity. Thank you for the cross, O God, that bridges the gap between you, our holy Heavenly Father, and us, a sin-filled people. Forgive us of our sin, O God. Forgive me of mine. Thank you for the cross. As we partake now of these elements of the cup and the bread, Father, we do this to remember your love demonstrated. We do this to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, God incarnate, who took upon himself all the filth, all the sin, all the disgusting puke of life on himself so that we wouldn't have to die in our sin. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. And now we take these elements to remember just that and say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. He took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The Bible says that after supper he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. Let's stand together and sing that closing hymn, then we'll pray. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this day, the first Sunday of a new year. Guide us this year, Lord. May the cross always lead us and direct our path. May what happened on that cross be ever mindful in every one of our hearts and minds, every day, all year. Thank you, Lord, again for the cross. We do pray, Lord, that you would encourage those that are discouraged today, maybe because of another loss of another community member, maybe because of a new diagnosis, maybe because of something else. We do pray that you'd encourage, that you would strengthen, that you would heal, that you would save, that you would forgive. Guide us, Lord, and use us this year for your glory. I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.